Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, guys.
I hope you guys missed from last week. We're back in effect. Today's topic would be about obesity in the Black community and the body image, how we're viewed in the media, and how we're viewed to ourselves in our own community. So we will have a guest speaker from a doctor by the name of Dr. Alan Rathborn. We will click him in a few minutes.
Oh, looks like he's here. We want to talk about obesity in just in America now. These days, you know, everybody's overweight almost. And we just want to dispel some myths and just give you guys some information to help you stay healthy and fit if you choose to, because it's not really about, like, being fit. It's really more about being healthy. But we're going to bring Alan in, as he has called in.
Here.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Alan. Hi. How are you?
Hi, ladies. I am great. How are you?
We're doing great. We're so happy to have you. We appreciate you for coming on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I was thrilled when you guys needed somebody to talk on obesity that, you know, you got me. I was thrilled to death. So anyhow, what kind of topics would you like to talk about concerning obesity?
Well, we first wanted to clear up some myths about dieting. You know, women love to be like, oh, I'm on a diet, I'm dieting, I'm trying to lose weight, and you know, the frustration of not getting anywhere or maybe losing the weight and gaining it right back within a few weeks or so. So we want you to kind of like give us, I know you came up with some steps, some principles, five of them. So we want you to kind of elaborate on those.
Well, one of the biggest problems we have, I know it's very prevalent here in the Southeast, and so I've got to assume it's somewhat prevalent across the whole United States, is that we skip breakfast, and I hear all kinds of excuses. Yeah, I hear all kinds of excuses from my patients about why they skip breakfast. You know, I can't eat in the morning, or, you know, it just fills me up. I don't feel good. No, it's less calories. And this is one of the biggest principles that I have to tell people, that when they get up from a night's rest, their energy has all been stored out of their bloodstream.
Really?
And
I'm so surprised by that. I can't skip breakfast.
Yeah, but I have to tell people, you know, your blood glucose, your blood sugar is your body's quickest energy. And it, you know, your blood circulates through your body about once every 2 to 3 minutes. You know, it makes it back to the heart. And so you can see what a quick circulation there is in the body. And when it's got blood sugar in it, then it's real quick energy and the body utilizes that quickly. But in the morning, your body has stored that blood sugar all night long during rest. And so when you wake up, that's the reason why you're a little bit sluggish, is because your blood glucose is kind of low.
So this is regardless of if you are a diabetic or not. This is just period.
Yes. Exactly. You've
got
to eat something. And if you're diabetic, it's even more important because your blood sugar is low. The body's been storing that blood sugar all night long. And so you've got to put some, you know, replenish that blood sugar in the morning. Very important to do. Now, do you remember one of the trick questions that I told you about in the pre-show? Remember what the question was about the only organ that runs off of blood glucose?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody know?
I'm looking at my notes. I'm trying to
Well, you just
got
it.
Okay. The reason you're sluggish in the morning when you first wake up is because your blood glucose is low, and the only organ in your entire body that can only utilize blood glucose for energy is your brain.
No.
Your brain cannot. Yeah, your brain cannot use fats hardly at all for energy. It relies totally on blood glucose. And that's one of the reasons when you see a diabetic who gets, their blood sugar bottoms out and almost gets way down below what it should be, they act silly and stupid like they're drunk. Well, they're not. Their brain food is low. And that's why with the diabetic, you'll see many of them with, you know, if they're severe diabetic, they'll have candy in their pockets
mm-hmm.
so that they can get a quick rush of sugar to their brain and they can act semi-normal again.
Well, you know what? That mm-hmm. clears up a lot of things for me because I'm one of the people who cannot function without breakfast. I mean, if I go without breakfast, I promise you could rob me and get over on me. I mean, I wouldn't even put up a fight because I'm like cranky. I have a headache. I feel sleepy. So that does clarify a lot for me.
Exactly. Now, one of the things, you know, on my the different principles, I tell people that, you know, every day you're going to go on this journey. This, you know, most people stay awake about somewhere around 16, 17 hours before their brain starts to crash and, you know, it needs the rest, that deep sleep cycle to replenish itself. And I tell people, imagine that 16-hour journey. Every day is a car trip. And you're going to go out 8 hours and come back 8 hours. Well, you don't need as much gas coming back. You need to fill up before you leave.
Right.
Because you need to have the energy to get wherever you're going. But on the way back, you want to try and empty out your car of gas and fill up every morning. Because, you know, if you fill up at night, you know, you don't need the gas then. You don't need the fuel. You need it in the morning to get up and get going. Because if you fill up at night, your body stores that energy during sleep.
So what would be the best time to cut off, to have a cutoff time, to not eat later than if you can help it?
Well, I don't like cutoff times, Charity. I tell people just restrict your calorie intake in that last 4 or 5 hours before you go to sleep. Restrict it down. You can still have good nutritious foods, but slow it down to where, you know, maybe that evening meal is a fruit and vegetable meal because those are kind of lower in calories but higher in bulk. So you still feel full and satisfied. So, you know, you don't want to eat a lot of meat, fatty foods, cheeses, stuff like that. It doesn't mean you can't. It just means you need to restrict that type of food in the evening times.
Well, I've noticed with myself that if I eat late, like I would say like 8 or 9 o'clock, I would have like crazy dreams. Do eating late affect your dreams? Or is this just something in my head?
I heard that a lot.
I couldn't say that it does.
Okay. So as going over in your principle, too, about the macronutrient.
Yes.
I know you were saying there are like 5 basic chemicals. Can you go over those or a few of those?
Sure. I'll do it real quickly and give you a crash course in chemistry. There's 5 basic nutrients or things, chemical groups that the human body is made of. The most prevalent one, the most common, is water, okay? But it doesn't have any calories. There's no fuel in water, but you have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other 3 chemical groups that are macronutrients are carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Now, the 5th chemical group is micronutrients. Those are vitamins and minerals. And I tell students when I do a weight loss class, I tell them when I draw this out that the micronutrients, we're not going to talk about them. And, of course, they're disappointed because they want a vitamin or a mineral or some kind of supplement that they can take and not change their lifestyle without exercise or dietary changes. and they lose weight magically. And it does not happen like that. So I tell them,
right.
Oh, we're not going to talk about micronutrients. And that's why they're called them micronutrients, because they're vitamins and minerals, and you need them, but you don't need nearly as many micronutrients as you do the macronutrients, the carbs, proteins, and fats. Okay?
So we do need those.
Yes, you do need those. Now, of those three groups, the composition of calories in each one of them, the in fats, that has the most calories in it. Now, a pound of fat has around 4,000 calories in it. So you can imagine if we do, if I do an hour of, I go jogging, that's my main exercise, but if I jog in an hour, my body burns about 650 calories. And, of course, not all of those are fats. Some of them are carbs. And so you can really quickly see if I burn, say, 300, 400 calories of fat in a one-hour workout, but there's 4,000 calories in a pound of fat, it's going to take me a while to get that fat off, just mathematically. Think of the math.
Okay, so this is according to your exercise clock that you came up with.
Correct. Exactly.
Okay, I'm following. I just want to make sure I'm following along.
Sure. Now, with carbohydrates, you in a pound of carbohydrates, you have about 1,800 calories. So you can see real quickly they're not very dense. And I mean, they're not very calorie-rich, carbohydrates are. But, you know, if you eat enough of them, you know, you can get obese. Your body will store those as fat, you know, if you eat enough carbohydrates. But I wanted to make sure everybody got the idea that, you know, during the last 15 or 20 years, there's been this thing about carbs are bad.
Right.
And this is not true at all. Your brain is the only organ in your body that can only run off of carbohydrates, can't use fats. And so you want to be careful if you're going to you want to be careful if you restrict the carbs. You don't want to take away your brain food.
So really, there is no quick fix pill to help you lose weight. You have to eat healthy and exercise.
Well, yeah, but there's a few exceptions to that, Charity. You know, of course, you can starve yourself, and you will lose weight. But I tell people, don't do that.
We don't recommend that, okay? Exactly.
No. Don't do that because, you know, you'll not only starve yourself and use fat calories, you'll also use protein and you'll also use carbs. You know, if you starve yourself, your body will go through that. It doesn't just use fats if you go on a starvation diet. It
right.
also uses your muscle and it also uses the carbohydrates in your bloodstream. So a starvation diet's not the answer.
So I did come across one of your trick questions that you sent. Let me read it. It says, what two conditions must be present in your body in order for you to experience hunger?
Yes.
Now, I didn't come up with an answer, but I am curious to know what the answer is, as I'm sure the listeners are.
Okay.
Wait,
yeah,
let me try to guess. So
okay.
The question is, what two...
Hold on, let me read again.
Okay.
It's what two conditions must be present in your body in order for you to experience hunger?
Okay, so, I thought I wanted to guess. I'm trying to think what happens when you...
Your stomach growling? I mean, that's how I know.
Salivation?
I either have a headache
salivation
or my stomach is growling. I mean, I could hear it.
Yeah, I can hear it,
we
too. You didn't eat yet. Okay. Look, the two conditions, first, remember what's the only organ in your body that can only run off of blood glucose?
The brain.
Your brain.
Okay.
So if the brain detects a low blood glucose level, triggers hunger. Okay?
Okay.
That's one of the things. Your blood glucose is getting low, the brain triggers hunger. Okay. The next thing that has to happen is you also have to have an empty stomach.
Okay.
Your stomach is empty. think
that
about
makes
it.
Sense.
When you've been hungry, you drank some water, and automatically you're not quite as hungry, are you?
Right.
It's because you put something in your stomach, so your hunger is reduced by putting something in your stomach, even though it may be water, something without calories. It will reduce it. So those are the two conditions. You have to have an empty stomach, and your blood glucose is low.
Okay, so, you know, of course, as women, we're looking at TV, reading magazines, and we see all these, you know, skinny women, all of size 6, 4, and 8, and everyone is trying to achieve this same exact size. I know everyone's body is built differently, so can you give us advice on how to not per se try to obtain the same size as everyone else, but something that's more comfortable for ourselves, more healthier just for ourselves?
Yes, and I'll give you, this is going to blow some people's minds out there, because women do this all the time. I don't think I've had yet one woman who could answer this question that's been a student of mine. So, and I'm also going to put you two on the spot. Is that fair?
Okay,
yes.
That's fine.
Okay, let's not talk about weight for a minute, but I'm going
okay.
to ask you about a specific measurement. Now, Charity, Kay, what is your
mm-hmm.
percentage body fat?
I would say 25%.
No, have you had it measured? How
no,
have
I
you
haven't,
had it measured?
I
Kay,
have not.
When was the last time
I'm
you did?
Guessing.
I couldn't even tell you. I don't even know. Ever.
Okay.
Well,
when was the last time you when was the last time you guys checked your weight?
Well, I don't
like
check my
last
weight.
Last week? Maybe last week.
Are you saying like just standing on a scale or going to the actual doctor and letting them check your weight?
No, just standing on a scale like most women do.
Oh, no. I don't even own a scale.
Okay. Well, good. Now, what I want you guys to do is start checking percentage body fat, because weight tells you your entire body mass, but it does not tell you how much of that weight is fat tissue.
Okay,
that's
but a scale wouldn't
statistic.
Do that, would it?
No. It's real easy to measure it. You can go to most gyms, and they do it for
uh-huh.
free.
Uh-huh.
There's also a device called an impedance meter, and what it measures is body fat. It does it by
uh-huh.
tiny electrical currents, and when you grab a hold of this thing, you do not even feel the electrical current. But
uh-huh.
what it does is it measures how much fat there is in that body. And I tell my ladies, I like to have them down below 22% body fat. Now, if you can get down below 18, that's even better. But when you see like a professional bodybuilder,
uh-huh.
a female, she
uh-huh.
may be down to 12, 11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, because I hear this from women all the time that, oh, a Brad Pitt or, you know, Cameron Diaz, she doesn't have any fat on her body. Oh, yes, they do. It's
I was
impossible.
Say that can't be true.
Yeah, it's impossible to get down to 0% body fat. You
okay.
can't do it. Even people who starve to death don't get that low.
Okay.
When they're dead of starvation, they don't get to 0% body fat ever. It's just humanly impossible to do.
So is it important to focus on the body fat percentage?
Yes.
Or just, okay.
Yes, it's incredibly important, because women think they want to get to look like a, for instance, a Cameron Diaz, long, slender. Well, for some women, it's, you know, that's very difficult to attain. I'm trying to think of somebody... you know, somebody who, like an Oprah Winfrey, for instance, she can
right.
never look like Cameron Diaz. Her physique is not built that way. That's why
because
I tell ladies.
Big mouth.
Right. Well, and she struggled
well,
with her weight all her life.
Mm-hmm.
But she can never look like Cameron Diaz. But if she gets her percentage body fat down below, say, 20%, oh, yeah, then we're talking about a very nice figure on Oprah.
Right. So
funny.
Since you brought that up, I have a question, because, you know,
sure.
a lot of times, you know, people say like actually was in your in one of the principles, like, you know, oh, my mom is fat, or, you know, my family, we're all big boned, and leading us to believe that obesity is hereditary, but that's not true, right?
No, that's not true. What is inherited about physiques and figures is how much muscle tissue that you inherit that is, you know, type 1 or type 2 fibers, that principle 5 that I sent you guys. It's called somatotypes, but it is determined by genetics, and it's one of the least important principles in how you look. Now, people want to believe that since mom and dad was overweight, they're going to be overweight, and that's not true. What you inherited from them is just the muscle tissue, not the body fat. The body fat is always, 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 100% of the time determined by your lifestyle, always.
Okay. So I was reading over the principle 5 that you're speaking of called the somatotypes. There are two types. Could you elaborate a little bit on the two types there are?
Yeah, there's two types of muscle fibers. Now, muscles are made up of these long threads of muscle fibers, and one type of muscle fiber is an endurance fiber. Now, what it can do is contract continually over a long period of time without a huge amount of strength. Now, that type of fiber is an endurance fiber, so you can imagine it's going to, as you go along, you're going to have a more fat utilized, because fat is burned by endurance exercises. And so these people who have a majority of type 1 muscle fibers are more able to burn fat.
Okay.
Now
do they have a difficulty in gaining muscle, though?
Yes. Those fibers do not like to grow and enlarge with weight training. Now, I'm not saying that people who have that long, slender body type can't get muscular. There's many, many examples of people who do that. But the type 2 muscle fiber, which is the very powerful muscle fiber, it will contract very powerfully, but it can't do it over and over and over and over and over again like the type 1 fiber can. And since it contracts quickly, it utilizes mostly carbohydrates for energy. So people who have a majority of like type 2 fibers in their body, they can build muscle, but they can't burn off fat as well because they don't have the muscle fiber for endurance athletics. So you're talking about the difference between a Oprah Winfrey, who has mostly type 2 fibers, and a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who has mostly type 1 fibers.
Okay, and I see the type 2 fibers have a problem with, let me go back to it, has a difficulty with losing fat versus the other one has a difficulty in gaining muscle.
Exactly. And so, you know, we'll contrast, again, two different physiques. Let's say you take somebody who has my physique. I'm a long, tall, slender fellow, about 6'1" and 185 pounds. Now, I can do a marathon, but let's take somebody who has a majority of type 2 fibers in them, say a Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
And let me and him do a marathon. Who's going to win? I am. Hulk won't come close to me in a marathon because he's not built for endurance. But let's do something silly and stupid and put me and him in a wrestling ring. Who's going to win? It's a power event. You know, it wouldn't,
right.
I'd be down on the ground real quickly saying, leave me alone, Hulk, I give. Because it wouldn't even be any type of a contest in a more of a power-oriented event. You know, say you know what a discus is, you know, and how you throw it on in track and field.
Right.
That's another one that Hulk would win and Alan Rathburn would lose because it's a power event.
Okay, so look, for these two body types, what would be, I know you're supposed to count the amount of calories that you intake. What would be the the numbers on each body type of the calories to intake?
Well, it kind of depends. That's determined by each person. So I think you're talking about resting metabolic needs. You know, is that right, Charity?
Yes.
Yeah, resting metabolic needs basically are how many calories do you need to wake up in the morning, go to the bathroom, come back to bed, watch TV, and make it through a day like that. That's resting metabolic needs. And for everybody, it's a little bit different. You know, it may be 1,200, it may be 1,800. You know, I don't know how much it's going to be for everybody, but that's always a good figure to know so that, you know, you can always make sure you, if you're trying to exercise, you get the right amount of calories in to support your exercise program and start changing your physique.
So how would one find out this information? Would they go to a gym or their physician?
Well, a gym would probably be a little bit better. That's what I would suggest because those guys are usually pretty sharp about knowing calorie expenditures and needed calorie intakes to support a good exercise program.
So would it be fair to say also based on your body type, there should be certain exercises that you would do that may work for you and maybe not work for the other body type?
Well, that's true, and you guys have got Principle 4 in front of you, right? The exercise pyramid?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Okay, now that is based on, you know, just a basic workout program, and, of course, what you see at the bottom of that pyramid, what you need the most of when you first start an exercise program is you need flexibility and stretching. Now, as you go along, you also need some aerobics. You can do swimming, you can do dancing, you can do biking, you can do running, you can do sex if you want. I don't care. It's going to burn about the same amount of calories all through that. Now, the next thing
really?
Is...
Well, why not have sex all the time? No, I'm sorry for that.
Well, yeah, I guess you could, but you'd add a lot of spice to life, too.
Okay.
But the next thing you'd want to do is resistance work. Now, that means getting in the gym, pumping some iron and lifting some serious tonnage. That will help build muscle tissue. But each one of those, you know, you need to start out with more flexibility so you don't hurt yourself. And then some aerobics and a little bit of bodybuilding, you know, actual, you know, lifting weights. And of course, as time goes along, what you want to do is try to get equal amounts of all three. And then as time goes along. Yeah?
Equal amounts of all three. Okay, that's fair.
So
okay,
is walking better than running?
Oh,
yeah,
that's a loaded question.
Yeah. And we have
a lot of
questions that you asked.
Well, yeah, you want
to
read?
It's kind of nearing us.
Okay, you want to read that trick question, Charity, for our audience?
Yeah, go ahead, Charity.
Well, she was just saying our time is out, but look, I can't look on my phone. I had it on my phone, my cell phone. I can't look on it while I'm on it. I'm sorry.
Sure. I'll tell it to everybody. I always ask this trick question, what burns more calories, running 5 miles or walking 5 miles? Now, remember, it is a trick. This is a trick question.
Okay.
I've hardly ever had anybody answer this properly, although a few people have. But the answer is that it burns the same amount of calories.
Really?
Five miles.
It just doesn't seem realistic.
Yes.
Man, I'm running my butt off.
I know. You be running all the time, and I'm walking because we're talking to each other sometimes when we're exercising.
Well, see, the difference is that, well, first of all, 5 miles is 5 miles to the human body. No matter what, 5 miles is 5 miles.
So
but,
I think we have enough time to actually hear your answer in depth. So for our listeners, please check out our Facebook page and you can get more information. We're going to keep talking. The show is going to air off, but we'll have this information archived. So thank you for tuning in.
Well, my pleasure.
Okay.
If, uh, any, Yeah, if anybody would like the oh, are we off?
No, you can still go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, if anybody wants some of this information, they can certainly call my office. The number here is 924-4647. We've got a nice diet and exercise program that teaches you how your body actually, you know, can process the calories you take in and how to burn them off and how your body actually works. It's not a diet and exercise, you know, program in the sense that it's going to tell you those foods and those exercises to do. It's going to show you the principles you need and how your body works.
And say that also, number again.
The number again is area code 601-924-4647.
And also, Dr. Rathborn has a chiropractic clinic that he runs in Clinton. You want to give them your address and email?
Yeah. The office is located in Clinton. That's west of Jackson on Highway 80. It's right across from the Dairy Queen in Clinton. The address is 612 Highway 80 East. And if you want to email me, my email is arathb1745@aol.com. You can also check out the Rathburn Chiropractic Clinic Facebook page. Just do a search and you'll find it. And if I can help anybody, give me a ring. I'll be glad to help out if I can.
Well, thank you, Mr. Rathburn. That is awesome. We definitely appreciate you once again for taking out the time, because we know you have a busy schedule to come in on our show. And please let us know and give us feedback once you listen after we hang up. Can you play the music?
I'll be glad.
And also, we're gonna put your information on our page, so other people will be able to access, even if they didn't get a chance to tune in today.
So
well,
you can
great.
Go back and listen, and you know, if any of your friends or your wife want to go back and listen later, they can just by the link that we showed you or the number.
So
yeah.
Thank you
and
again.
I do want to. Well, thank you, ladies, for having me. I appreciate it so much. This has been a lot of fun, and I hope a lot of people tuned in and can get a lot of good out of it.
Who knows? Maybe we'll do this again.
Yeah,
later.
I hope so.
We should do a part two.
Thanks, everyone,
okay.
For tuning in. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, listeners. Bye-bye.